I ask you to go ahead and either turn your Bible or look there on the sheet of notes at Acts chapter 13 and verses 26 through 31. The book of Acts, chapter 13, beginning with verse 26. Now, these words are part of a sermon preached by the Apostle Paul in the synagogue at Antioch of Pisidia. The remains of this city are found in modern-day Turkey, in the southwestern part of Turkey. Paul's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ to the people gathered there, both Jews and God-fearing Gentiles, who have come to the synagogue to observe the Sabbath. And he's taken them through a brief history of the Jews since their escape from Egypt, and he brings them up to the time of Saul. And Paul says then in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, "And when he, that is God, had removed him, that is Saul, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart who will do all my will. From this man's seed, from the seed of David, according to the promise, Paul says, God raised up for Israel a Savior, Jesus." And from here, Paul speaks of how Jesus was introduced by John the Baptist, and he was introduced in the public to the public in that way. And then he adds the words there before you, beginning in verse 26. "Men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to you, the word of this salvation has been sent. For those who dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause for death in him, they asked Pilate that he should be put to death. Now, when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. He was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people." What we have here is a rundown of the things that Christians believe concerning Jesus Christ. We've said many times that though Christianity has philosophical implications, Christianity is not a philosophy. Our faith rests on the Word of God, which contains a consistent series of prophetic promises from God, and then their actual historical fulfillment, or the record of that actual historical fulfillment. It's not a matter of what we imagined might have happened. It's not a matter of what we hope took place. It's not a dream or an allegorical myth. It is a series, and it's not a series of proverbial truisms either, to be kind of a guide to one's life. It is a testimony of facts concerning things that actually took place. And look again at the way Paul speaks of it here. He says, "Men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to you the word of this salvation has been sent." And all I want to call your attention to here is the personal nature of this message of salvation. It's not a philosophy or a religion to be discovered by human cogitation or thinking or hammered out by great minds. It wasn't a matter of great minds having deep thoughts and then coming to this conclusion. It's a message of salvation deliberately sent by God, and it is being openly preached to all. This gospel message is for men, women, and children of all ages, all races, all culture, all time. It's not a mere prescription for better living. It's not to be understood as the way to find a happier life. You see that sort of thing coming across the internet or in popular books and magazines. 10 rules for a happier marriage. That's not what this is. 6 ways to strengthen your brain power. That's not what this is. 7 tips for a better golf game. No, that's not what this is. This is not that. This is God the Creator. It's His instruction on what you must believe to be saved from your sins, to escape death and eternal judgment and enjoy heaven and His presence forever. Because this is what He did for you in order to make it possible. Paul says that the mission of the gospel is to bring to you and me the message of salvation for the saving of our souls. He then goes into how the very prophecies concerning Jesus Christ and His work of redemption were at the same time rejected and fulfilled. And that's one of the strange things about this. By their rejection of the prophecies, the people fulfilled those prophecies. This is verse 27. For those who dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know Him, nor even the voices of the prophets, which were read every Sabbath, have fulfilled them in condemning Him. You see here the importance of hearing and knowing. What I want you to notice here is that Paul says that they neither knew Jesus, nor did they hear the prophets, that is the word of God, though they heard them read every week. What a tragic thing to have this truth read in their ears every week and then to be told that they never heard it. They never heard what was being said by God. And Paul implies here that they didn't know Jesus because they chose not to do so. That's the idea of not knowing here. It's not that He wasn't knowable. It's that they chose not to know Him. And I want to challenge every teen and every Sunday school child in this room today to make it your purpose to know Jesus, to know Him. Willful ignorance of who Jesus is leads all sorts of persons, young and old, to reject Him. And then, of course, there's this irony that we spoke of a moment ago. By refusing to hear the prophets, they fulfilled the word of the prophets. Let no one here this morning fulfill the scriptures by refusing with an evil heart to hear them. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12, we read, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." And then look how Paul ends this portion of the sermon. He says, "Now when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning Him, they took Him down from the tree, and because He was dead, they laid Him in the tomb. But God raised Him from the dead. He was seen for many days by those who came up with Him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are His witnesses to the people." Just want you to note here, beloved, that Paul emphasizes the fact that everything written about Jesus, everything prophesied, was fulfilled. He was put to death for your sins. He suffered death for you, all according to the promises of God. When He was dead, they put Him in the tomb. Man killed Him. Mankind buried Him. But the testimony of God's word is that God raised Him from the dead and then gave to you and me a host of reliable witnesses, people who were familiar with Him to testify of His resurrection. These weren't people who didn't know Jesus, who said, "Oh, I met somebody later on in my life, and he said he was Jesus, and I suppose he must have been." These were people who had walked with Him. These are people who had talked with Him. These are people who had sat down at a meal with Him and eaten with Him. These are people who had prayed with Him and been with Him in fellowship, who bore witness to the fact that this is the one who was risen from the dead. And then Paul says, "And they saw Him for many days." It wasn't like it was hopeful thinking on their part. If you've ever had the experience of losing someone you love who's very dear to you, it's kind of a chilling thing when you look across a crowd of people and maybe somebody has their back turned to you and they look hauntingly familiar, like that person that you've lost. And for a moment, you kind of, you know, what? This isn't, you don't know how to process it right away. This isn't that. These people saw Him on many occasions. They got to talk with Him. They got to eat with Him again. They got even to handle His body. Which brings us back to where we began, beloved. We are a people marking an anniversary today. The anniversary of a specific event, the resurrection of our precious Savior, Jesus Christ, from the dead. The day he walked out of his tomb, conquering death, overcoming the grave, for all who put their faith in him and his word. We killed and buried him. God the Father raised him, and he brought with him all who were his. And that's what we celebrate.